striking the balance between business and personal. Many business owners arrive home late, tired, and preoccupied. How can you strike the perfect balance between your business life and your personal life? I'm Julie Stanford. A few years ago, I presented a show called Business as Usual for Radio Reverb in Brighton. What my guests and I talked about during those shows is still very relevant today. In this show, my guests and I are discussing work-life balance. Welcome again to the three of you. Last week we talked about what does it actually feel like to run a business? What's the experience of it? And some of the things we came up with is that it can be very stressful. It's very difficult managing your time. And so I wanted you to come back really to talk about your areas of expertise, which are how do you manage all the demands on your time? So who wants to kick off? Curtis, what are your thoughts about this whole work-life balance aspect?
A lot of the work we do with our clients is around getting things out of their heads so that it's not constantly bugging them. And I think if you're running a business and it gets to Friday afternoon and you're still thinking about everything because you haven't written it down, it's not in a system that you trust, you're going to spend the whole weekend thinking about it. I mean, that may happen anyway. If you've got a very busy business and it's new or whatever, you could still spend the weekend thinking about it. We try to help people to get that stuff out of their heads, whether or not it's in a notebook or on a computer system, and to define what those things are as well so that they've got some kind of idea of where they're heading with them. I don't know. I think that's one thing that helps people to kind of relax a little bit more and to hopefully kind of shut off at the weekend.
So you find that a lot of people have this kind of constant circling of information in their minds, and that helps them just stop that and
For a start, when you're actually trying to do a piece of work and you want to focus on it, if all that other stuff is floating around in your head, it's going to be very hard for you to do a good job on that work. But then when you actually want to switch off from work altogether, it's going to be almost impossible to kind of put that stuff to bed for a bit.
Mm. Mark, what would you be saying to people that you're training or coaching about this whole aspect of balancing the day-to-day work and we're calling it life. We know that work is part of life, but let's say their personal life or the other non-work related aspect of it. You know, how would you work with people helping them cope with it and get it sorted, really?
Yeah, I mean, what Curtis said was great, that idea of getting it out of your head rather than getting out of your head. That's fantastic advice. For me, I call plorking, which is a mixture of playing and working. I highly recommend that, and you know, I love what I do, so that's a big part of it for me. And also the danger of that for myself and for other people that run businesses is lack of boundaries. I found myself checking my email once in bed at 7 a.m. as my alarm had gone off, which was also my BlackBerry, and I thought, I just check my emails before I get up. That was no good. So now I set some boundaries around. For example, I always have breakfast before I check my emails. Just a little thing, but it makes a difference.
Mm. So you would advise people to think about where aspects of their work are creeping into really quite irresponsible parts of their life, really, is because that's not good. That's not going, you know, checking your email first thing in the morning, and you're setting yourself up for problems there, aren't they? So do you advise people to think practically about it? You know, where is it creeping across? How can I stop that?
Yeah, it could be that. For example, my girlfriend will slap me if I check my emails while we're having dinner. And that's something I highly recommend setting up as a system.
Yeah. You've got an aversion therapy thing going on. Soraya, what about you with your clients in your coaching and management?
I think for me, I work with my clients around setting some golden rules, because I work with a lot of women, sort of senior women who have families, and they also have BlackBerries. And so I think setting down your golden rules about the BlackBerry does not come home at weekends, or, you know, your rule of I'm not going to open it till I've actually arrived at the office, but also golden rules about, right, you know, Fridays is when I'm going to spend my time with my kids, or I'm going to spend time on me, because I think the whole relaxation part is so important of actually being very, very effective when you are working. So I think having your golden rules is my kind of area that I really work with clients around.
And you think it's worth actually really stopping and taking stock and then thinking about what those rules might be. Obviously, should imagine they're going to be different for different people. Yeah. So, you know, our listener thinking, okay, how can I apply this in my life? What would be the first step to doing that? You know, let's think about really working out what your own personal golden rules are. What would be the first thing that your client would do, you would encourage your client to do?
I think I'd get them to look at two things. First of all, I'd get them to look at what is working well for them in their working week, and then equally what is not working well. And for those areas that aren't working well, really explore what's happening and how they can find a solution to it. But also helping them to just engage with the things that they're personally passionate about, you know, because I think with the internet and people working at home and Blackberries, it all starts creeping in, and before you know it, people are working 7 days a week.
And I know from bitter experience that that's exactly what I have done in the past. Yes, Mark?
Yeah, it's hearing about Blackberries, and it's, you know, technology is definitely not the answer.
We ought to also say not just BlackBerry, but any other phone on which you can receive your emails.
My iPhone will get jealous if she hears me talking about BlackBerries. Yes, it's not just a technological issue. I mean, you can have a BlackBerry and still, you know, if you can't say no, if you can't ask for help, as discussed in the last one of these, you'll be overwhelmed still. So it's really that embodied, emotional, very personal piece about how you manage yourself. Are you centered, for example? If you're all over the place and you haven't got yourself together, then it doesn't matter how good a plan you have in theory, you won't be able to carry it out because something will come up and your attention will be drawn to it. That's the world we live in. It's very attention grabbing. Mm. So the ability to be centered around what you really care about is crucial.
So you think it's not just a matter of having the practical tools or the practical skills in place. It's about really starting earlier than that or further back in the chain. It's looking at yourself and how you manage, I suppose, your relationships with other people and with your work. Curtis, is that something that comes up in your workshops?
Absolutely. And I see it with nearly everyone that I work with. If someone's checking their emails all of the time or on their computer all the time, you have to ask, why are they doing that? It's normally there's an aspect of their life that's not quite right. And without going into too much emotional stuff, you know, it's normally a personal issue there, a need to either be contacted all the time or they're trying to get away from their personal life because something isn't quite right. But there's generally kind of more questions there around kind of their actual home life. It's a very easy way of kind of getting away from your family life by just being in your BlackBerry all the time. I think with your BlackBerry or whatever phone you're using or whatever email system you're using, it's about managing expectations as well. I think a lot of people in business, if people know you've got a BlackBerry, they know they can send an email to you and it's going to arrive with you immediately. So the expectation is that you're going to see that immediately. And if you don't respond immediately, you're not doing your job properly. And we kind of need to move away from that. I kind of tell most of the people I'm working with that I check my emails a couple of times a day. If it's important, send me a text or phone me, because I'm not looking at my emails every 5 minutes.
I realised a sort of revelation that somebody said to me, I said this in a previous show, that, oh, I emailed you and you didn't reply. And I said, no, I won't. I'm not good with emails. I'm far better on the phone. If you want me, ring me. But if you want to get me urgently, you'll be a few days before you get reply on my emails, because I get hundreds every day. And it's not spam. It's hundreds of emails that I need to respond to.
But that really is still about managing expectations, because if people aren't aware of that, then they're going to get annoyed.
Yeah.
So it's about telling the people you're working with, look, I'm only going to check my emails twice a day. So, you know, don't expect a reply to that email.
We're not letting them guess, then. We have to actually say.
Yeah, they can't read your mind. You know, they know technology is going to deliver that email to you straight away.
Yeah. Yeah. Mark?
Yeah, we agree with all that. I mean, you can't really manage time. What you can manage is your commitments and your promises.
Yeah.
So have I made a commitment to someone to respond to them within an hour? If I haven't, If I've made no such commitment, there's no such expectation, as Curtis says, then okay, maybe I'll check my email twice a day and they'll be cool with that. So to have that set up as an agreement.
Yeah, but the expectation, as Curtis says, because of technology, is that we'll respond straight away. So we actively have to manage that expectation by saying, by the way, I won't respond straight away. With, I'm just, although I wouldn't really
not normally say there's a big difference between the way men and women balance work and life. Soraya, do you, in your experience, because you work with a number of women as well, and these are high achieving, you know, high level business women, is there anything there about how they're dealing with it because of there's so many demands on their time, or is it that it's just people?
I think it's just people, but I do think women women can feel very guilty if they're not on top of everything and they're not being seen to be, you know, much more driven and focused on their role and what the business needs to achieve. And I think that's very much about them then helping them to feel, take away that guilt and actually helping them to put their boundaries down and have their golden rules and just kind of make commitments to outside of their work. But I think it's becoming more endemic across everybody, male and female. But I do think women spend a lot of time feeling guilty about it all the time.
Curtis, yes.
Yeah, I mean, speaking as a single parent, you know, there's certain rules that I've got in my life. And in fact, today I'll be having the afternoon off to collect my son from school. And I've done that since he started school, which is kind of 7 years now. Mm. I've always had Tuesday afternoons off. Because that's an important time for me to spend with my son. But being in business, that's not always that simple. And there are afternoons where I have to do a bit of work when he's around. But he understands that, and he's old enough now to deal with that and to know that I'm running my own business. And he benefits from that.
Mm. Mark?
Love this phrase of golden rule. I often talk about sacred time, sort of booking out time. Like, you know, Sunday evenings, I do Aikido. I find that fantastic for me. Often it's things that are important but not urgent that are difficult for, in my experience, people in businesses or just very busy people to get done. So it's things like going to the gym. We all know it's healthy, but it's never an emergency. Whereas a client calling you up and saying, I have to have this done right away, it's got that urgency to it.
Mm.
So, and I think it's almost a discipline to be able to be able to do that.
I remember... I may have touched upon this on a previous show, but I remember when I was running my design company and my son was about 5 years old. And I came in, I took the day off to be with him all day, and I came into my studio where my staff were all there working, and they'd had a problem with a job that had to go out that day. It had to go out that day because there were people arriving at a training course, and they'd had a major technical problem, and I had to put it right because I was the only one with the skill to do it. And my little boy sat on a chair for an hour and a half in my studio, and I felt that that was the low point for me. I felt as if I must be so bad at business that I could leave my poor little boy sitting. He wasn't actually very bothered. He sat kicking his legs on this chair, but I felt terrible. How would we deal with that? Because that is a practical problem. There is a problem in the business. There was no one else could solve it. What could I have done about that?
But was that the norm?
No.
No. Well, that stuff's going to come up. There's always going to be a time where, you know, something will kind of blow up and you've got to deal with it. And that happens with me sometimes, and Max understands that. And that's just about being in business. There's times where you will be able to have an afternoon off.
Mm.
And that's another benefit of being in business. And I think as long as it doesn't become the norm, as long as you catch it, because I think it's very easy. It's a slippery slope. You start doing that and you think he's sitting there and he's happy and, oh, it'll be all right next week. We can do that. And then it becomes the norm, and that's when it becomes dangerous, I think.
Yes, Soraya.
I think just twisting that round, my son got very used to kind of being around me in business, but actually now that he's older and I've talked to him about it, he really appreciates it because he saw a different side of me, but he also felt that he was very included in something that mummy went off to, and actually he was there being part of it.
Mm.
So I totally agree, you can't make it as norm, but I think the guilt thing, actually, you know, it's not so bad for them.
Mm. Yes, it's interesting. Yes, Mark?
Yeah, and two questions come up for me, really, complimentary questions. One is, can we completely take responsibility for what we do? You know, I always joke that I don't have to do anything except take up space and love my mum, or everything else is a choice. So taking responsibility for the decisions and the priorities that I make. So I choose to do this today, not go to the gym. You know, I choose not to develop my health today. The other one is can we as business people treat ourselves compassionately? Can we, as well as getting the job done and being effective, can we also treat ourselves as human beings and parents and mothers and brothers and sons and and those very human things.
Mm. Yeah, I said last week that often when I'm doing talks on business and I see, you know, sometimes hundreds of people sitting in front of me, and I always feel great admiration for them. I really do, because I know it's not easy, and I know they're taking time out to learn more or to just be inspired or whatever they're there to do. You know, I think that it's to be really admired when people do that. Yes, Curtis. Mm.
I may be shot down for this, but especially whilst we're going through a recession, so people are having to work harder and harder. But I do hear a lot of people say to me when they're running their own businesses, I don't have any free time, I don't have a personal life. And I kind of want to say to them, well, why are you doing it? Mm. Like, if you really enjoy it, if you want to do something you're enjoying, then do it. But don't moan about it. You know, I don't know, it kind of annoys me. I do understand at the moment we're going to have to put the extra bit in, but people are always kind of saying that when they're on their own business. I just never have any free time, and I think it kind of annoys me.
Soraya.
Interesting. There are two things that I always say to my client, because I think it's very interesting when business people say, I've got no time. I think sometimes actually they quite like the significance of looking busy, rushing around and going, mm-hmm. I've got no time. But I think there's a huge danger when you're working in your business that everything can become urgent. Everything has to have a deadline. Everything has to get out the door because people don't stop and actually think about it. And one of the tools that I use with my clients is actually for them to sit down and work out their day by what's urgent and what's actually important. Mm. And it gives them such a shift and a real insight into where they're actually wasting a lot of time and where they could be delegating or outsourcing to actually what's important. The other thing is about getting people to take thinking time, because our conscious brain can only hold so much and everything's pushed into the subconscious. And actually taking even half a day out, half an hour out to actually stop and think, people are so much more effective.
Mm. I found also a really clever way of managing my customers' expectations when I was running the agency. I think I've mentioned this before as well, but I felt like I'd grown up as a business owner because this seemed to be just the best thing to do. First of all, I set the expectation in my terms and conditions, which was, this is our turnaround time. This is our normal turnaround time for the work we're going to do. So people knew what to expect. If they then came and were unreasonable in what they were expecting, I would just stand and smile and say, yes, there'll be 100% rush charge for that. And then I'd shut up. And so I won both ways, because I didn't say it in any kind of difficult way. I just said, well, you know, just reminding you of our terms and conditions, there is a charge for that. Do you still want to go ahead? Mm. And I was quite shocked at how well people took that. They'd say, well, actually, yes, I'll pay the charge, or no, it can wait till next week. Both answers were wonderfully liberating, because I either got more time or I got more money. Mm-hmm. But it took me a long time and a painful time to get to that stage in the business. What ideas would you give people of ways of managing those expectations? Because it seems to be a lot of it about that, isn't it? What other people expect of us and what we expect of ourselves. Mm. Mark.
Yeah, I love that policy of yours. It reminds me of the post office. They do it, so why not? To add to what Soraya said as well as thinking time, I'd really recommend people had not thinking time. So, you know, time working with the body, time perhaps in meditating, mindfulness practices, I highly recommend. Even if that's just going for a walk on the downs, you know, walking along the seafront in your lunch hour in Brighton. That just being with nature, being with your own body, that can be really rejuvenating as well. So I highly recommend that. What was the question?
No, we were just pondering really about managing expectations. It's about and also, you know, customers' expectations of us, because maybe we're being a bit hard on ourselves here, thinking that a lot of this difficulty with balancing work and life, as it were, comes from us, when actually, as business owners, masses of it comes from external pressure, doesn't it? With our customers really expecting too much of us, or because technology's added to that pressure. As a designer, I was expected many years ago to take 3 weeks to design and produce artwork. My clients then ended up expecting me to be able to do it in a day. Mm. So in other words, they were not building in my creative thinking time. They were just thinking of it as a technological process.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, everyone struggles with working out how long it's going to take to do something. You know, you look at your calendar at the week ahead and you think, oh yeah, I'll put all that stuff in there. You're always going to be moving stuff over. Everyone that I work with struggles with that, and I do as well. You know, it's difficult to kind of block time out and to know how long it's going to take to write that document. So really it's about managing expectations with yourself, but also with your clients. We all want to please people, and again, we want to retain our clients, so you kind of want to deliver stuff. But if you're delivering stuff too quickly, you might be doing a not so good job. So you kind of want to manage that expectation to make sure they're aware you're putting the effort in and delivering something really well, but it might take a bit longer.
Soraya?
Yeah, I totally agree on managing expectations, and I think being very clear on your terms and conditions and how you work. I actually think this is going to be a problem that's not going to go away, and actually how people manage it in coming into next year, I think it's going to be very, very important, because everyone is feeling pressured. Everyone is feeling time is of the essence, otherwise I'm going to miss out. And I think one of the ways perhaps we can help our clients is actually by really interrogating what their needs are up front, not just our expectations, and help them to get a very clear picture on what it is they need and what their timings are, and is that actually realistic. And it's quite interesting when you actually start doing that, people go, actually, no, you're right, I could actually probably just wait for that, or, you know. So helping them to think actually is a good thing.
Mark,
for me, something that's crucial to get clear is this my story, or is this actually reality? Is this the facts? So often I work in stress workshops with very stressed people, and what will become apparent is they'll have a story that I have to do this and it has to be done right away, and, you know, my client expects an email back straight away. And I'll just gently question that and say, is that really the case? Is that an agreement you have? Is that a commitment? And often it's not. Often it is in their head. And when they check out with the people they work with, it's something slightly different. The other one is what I call conditions of satisfaction. Is every time anyone asks you to do something, which as business people, that's what we do. We fulfill requests. So anytime people ask me something, I say, okay, what are the conditions of satisfaction here? What would be a fantastic result? And okay, you want it in this time, you want it to this standard, and you want it done in that way. Great. Now I know I can say yes or no to that. And being really clear about what the conditions of satisfaction are up front can save a lot of pain and trouble for everyone later on.
It reminds me of that sense of wanting to, often many of us are perfectionist. And I know in my own work, I would often work late into the night and at weekends to produce a perfectly designed job for my client. And it was only when my partner pointed out that that was not the client's idea of perfect, and really I could have come home earlier and given them a job that the client would have been really happy with, it dawned on me that he was right. I was there fulfilling my expectation of the work rather than the client's expectation. And I would suspect that a lot of business owners get caught up in that, especially if they build a business around their own technical skill or passion. Because if it's your passion or it's the skill that you're very good at, you're going to want to do it to the best of your ability. Do you find that other people struggle with that idea of when to stop and hand this off to the client?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm just going to kind of say a little bit about something my brother does. He's a musician, and he is just a classic example of a creative person that would spend a year fine-tuning a piece of music before he says, right, I'm going to commit that to vinyl, to CD, because, you know, it's going to go out there, it's going to be duplicated into thousands of copies. But at some point, he has to decide to let go of that. I think it's very difficult, especially for creative people, to let go of work.
I'm just sitting here laughing, actually, because I think it's, I don't know about the guys around the table, but I know I get locked into, if I'm designing a workshop and I'm looking at theories and how to do things, I love reading. So I'll read and read and read and read, make loads of notes, design it in my head, put, you know, and that's my trap, because I'm trying to make it absolutely perfect, but it's also because I really, really enjoy it.
It's when we were talking earlier about this kind of going home in the evening, very often I would stay at my work doing the work of my business, because although everyone was going out to the pub, it wasn't really something I particularly wanted to do. I might like if it was going to the cinema or something else. There was something else that attracted my attention. But for me, I preferred my design work. Like, I prefer publishing. I love designing books so that people can actually really, really learn from them. And so actually for me as a person, that was more pleasurable. And I know people were saying I was a workaholic for a long time. But actually, it wasn't all workaholism. It was me loving what I do.
I think, you know, that's fine if it is something you really love doing. But I think also there are people that are workaholics and they're avoiding the other aspects of their life and they're using their work to do that. So I think, yeah, I mean, there's the, you know, there's different sides to that. I think for me, I still work at an office that's in my home. And one of the things I have to do to kind of finish my day, I have to leave the house. And like, so every other day I'll go for a run before at the end of a day. And that for me feels like I've walked home and come back and I've gone home after being at work. And it's quite a nice kind of change. And it kind of makes me feel like I've finished my day.
There is a particular challenge there for people working from home, isn't there?
Yeah, it's going to be challenging to get healthy boundaries there. And I always put some work trousers on the shirt. And it sounds silly, even if I'm not seeing a client, maybe I'm just talking to them on the phone. But that really helps me. And, you know, at the end of the day, I take my trousers off.
And replace helps. Them with some others?
Absolutely, yes.
That was like...
So as a joke, I'm self-exploited because I love what I do. You know, I love the training I do. And it's very easy to do it all the time.
Yeah.
And having that sacred space where I know, you know, Sunday night I'm going to be Aikido. Tuesday I'm going to be dancing. Okay, I've made a promise to my girlfriend that we're having dinner on Wednesday night. For me, keeping promises is really important. So I make promises and then keep them around things that aren't work.
Is it Stephen Covey in his book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, when he talks about, I think it's Stephen Covey, the big rocks, where you put in the really important things into your calendar and then you put the smaller rocks around it, which is, you know, so you put the important things like your friends and your family and the things you love to do that really make you feel better about yourself and make you live life more joyously, I suppose, in some ways.
Yeah. I mean, in one of the things that we try to put some focus on in our workshops is actually dealing with the personal aspects of people's lives, because just because you're at your work desk doesn't mean to say that stuff that's going on at home has been left there.
No.
So that can affect your work as well and have a negative effect on it. So we also help people get that stuff out of their heads too and into their system, so it's at least somewhere and not in their head. And I think that's a really important thing for them to do. And it always surprises people at first. Mm. You know, I've come here for a work thing. Why are you asking me what's going on in my personal life? But, you know, the brain doesn't differentiate.
Yeah, I would say have good boundaries and realise there's no such thing as well.
Soraya?
No, I think it's a very good point. And I think, you know, when people go to work, you're not dehumanising them. They're human beings. We all have our own emotions and feelings and good days and bad days. And it's a holistic thing. It's a 360 thing. Mm. And I think having for me, I don't take my trousers off when I finish, but I do have little rituals of closing the laptop, you know, shutting the door, getting out of the room. And I think that's as much as you can, trying to make it 9 to 5:30.
Mm. So let's think then, we've come to the end of the round table. It always comes by so quickly. Before you go, if you could leave us with a really great idea of ways of helping us achieve that optimum balance between, you know, work and the rest of our lives. What would that be? If you just one thought. Yes, so Mark?
Get a really good system and be a human being within that.
Okay. So that importance again of people, with, you know, of thinking of yourself as human first and then business owner second.
Integrated.
Integrated, that's the word. Oh yes, your business. The light's just gone on. Curtis, what about you?
I totally agree with Mark on the system thing, but I think don't lose track of the things you really love doing and that, you know, make you a good human being. I think it's really important that you kind of stay true to those things and try and honour them and keep to them and don't keep breaking agreements with yourself.
And Soraya, what about you?
Yeah, I agree with the guys totally. And I'd also add that I think making commitments to your family and your friends outside of work means that you can't let people down.
It's always fantastic to hear people who know what they're talking about give their thoughts and experience to the listener. And so can I say thank you. This show was originally recorded for Business as Usual on Radio Reverb. I'm Julie Stanford. Thank you for listening to Essential Business Radio.